Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
Well, a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, streaming live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up at our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. It's draft week. I know you guys have a lot of questions. I know you want to get answers. So hit us up, 331-979-1369. Drop your voicemails and your text messages. We're going to go through a huge mailbag episode on Wednesday this week, leading up to the draft on Thursday. But Matt, welcome back from the weekend. We are finally here. We have draft week. A little bit underwhelming, at least from what we thought, where we thought the Bulls were going to be a month ago when we were sitting at the fourth slot, slid all the way to seven, but still an exciting time because I feel like there's going to be a lot of moves being made, not only by Bulls being in a lot of rumors, but just trades in general around the NBA. So I'm very, very excited, but we have to start with the biggest news. But first, how you doing? How was your weekend?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Had a pretty good weekend. Pretty low key, you know, just trying to rest up, get ready for big NBA draft week. We're now getting down to the nitty gritty. Of course, the huge Anthony Davis trade that we were expecting to happen between the Pels and the Lakers transpired over the weekend. Our first mega Woj bomb of the NBA offseason. And now, you know, of course, there were all kinds of talks about maybe the Bulls being a third team involved in those AD to the Lakers trades. That didn't happen, but now there are other possibilities at hand. And, this rumor that the Bulls are still looking to trade up, if possible, maybe to the 4 or 5 spot to get the guy that they really want in this draft. But at least for now, hopefully we can stop panicking about that whole LaVine and 7 for Lonzo and 4 stuff that was driving you and I crazy.
Yeah. We'll find out if the Pelicans still want to move that 4th pick, and then Lonzo could be a part of that potentially.
Certainly sounds like they're open to it.
I wonder what it would start with the Pelicans. I think it would be a little bit easier there, but I think you're still talking about potentially having to trade Zach LaVine and or that 7th pick, which we're right back in the same boat, which we don't want to be in. So I don't want to give up the 7th pick and Zach LaVine. I'm okay with parting with one or the other, but I need to get good value back, and the Bulls can't afford to package both of those guys. But Anthony Davis moving from New Orleans to LA. It's funny, this trade is almost identical to the first offer the Lakers made them several months ago, with the exception of the pick swaps every other year. How do you think the Pelicans made out in this trade, and how do you think the Lakers made out of this trade from just a thousand foot view of this deal between the Lakers and the Pelicans?
Yeah, this is one of those trades where I honestly think both teams got a good result and got what they wanted. Obviously, the Lakers, who have LeBron James, who is not getting any younger, are trying to be in win now mode. And Anthony Davis is a star, as you said on Sports Feed last night, in your opinion, arguably a top 5 player in the league right now in his prime. Yeah, he's dealt with some injuries, but he is a top 5, certainly top 10 player in his prime. Added to LeBron James, who complement each other very well. A LeBron and Anthony Davis pick and roll is just lethal when you think about it. And the Lakers, yeah, they gave up a lot. They gave up Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, 3 young players with certainly a lot of pooled potential. And then not only the number four pick this year, but picks and the right to pick swaps for several seasons dating all the way out to 2024, 2025. It's a lot for the Lakers to give up, but they essentially gave it up knowing that they're getting Anthony Davis long term. There's an agreement there. He has the Rich Paul clutch sports factor. You know, this would be a lot to give up for a player on a 1 or 2 year loaner, kind of like what the Timberwolves, you know, sadly had to do to get Jimmy Butler, and that didn't work out. But you're getting Anthony Davis for probably 5, maybe even 10 years. You're probably getting Anthony Davis for the rest of his prime and beyond by making this trade. And from the Pelicans' perspective, you add some interesting young pieces to build around Zion Williamson, your number one pick, and a lot of future picks to come. I think it's a good deal for both teams.
I agree with you on that. I think it's a good deal for both teams. And for, like, I don't know who it is. If it's a portion of Lakers fans that are complaining that the Lakers had to give up too much and they've sacrificed a lot, it's like, again, you're trading for Anthony freaking Davis here. He is a top five. At least if I had to pick my top five right now, he's in my top five. Even though he didn't play a whole lot of last season, he was in and out of the lineup and everything that happened with him. He's still a top five player in the NBA. If I had to go through my top five right now, it's LeBron, KD, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, and then I think tied for fifth is Giannis and Kawhi. But now with Kawhi winning the championship in the playoff that he had, I think I got to push Kawhi into my top five and Giannis just on the outside. But still, like, to me, Anthony Davis is, when healthy and when playing, he's the best big in basketball.
I don't think there's any debating that at all right now. He is the best big in basketball. And, you know, I saw a lot of people, it's weird, you know, some people were saying, oh man, the Lakers just got fleeced. And some people saying, wow, the Pelicans didn't really get that much. You know, they got some young players. None of them are really stars. And they got some picks that, assuming that the Lakers with LeBron and AD healthy become a team that's winning more than they lose, and all those first round picks the Pelicans are getting are not going to be lottery picks, some people think that the Pelicans didn't get a very good package. But again, to me, maybe those people with those, you know, takes on either side have a vested interest in one team or the other. People comparing it to the Boston-Brooklyn trade from years back, though, to me, it's different. Like, yeah, you know, the Brooklyn Nets gave up a king's ransom worth of picks to Boston to get some stars, but they were really stars well past their prime. Like, Paul Pierce and KG were both, what, like past 35 years of age when that trade went down. Anthony Davis is 26. 26! So to me, it's a completely different scenario than those people who are trying to bridge, well, this is essentially, you know, oh, the Pelicans just fleece the Lakers and the Lakers mortgage their future for the present. Well, yeah, okay, in the present, you're getting a star in his prime who clearly is ready to commit to your team long term, and you need to bring him in to help LeBron compete for titles with the years that LeBron has left. I saw something the other day that, you know, assuming LeBron plays a pretty full season coming up in 19-20, he's going to be moving into third place all time on the combined regular season and playoff minutes played list. And we just saw him endure one of the more serious injuries he's had in his career that has been a very clean career injury-wise. If the Lakers mortgage their future by giving up several first-round picks, maybe their late lottery, maybe their, you know, teens, 20s in the first round, so that they can win now with LeBron and Anthony Davis, the Lakers, who just a couple weeks ago were being talked about as the giganticest shit show in the league, Magic retiring, Magic and Pelinka backstabbing, Jeannie Buss not knowing what she's doing. All of a sudden, people are talking about them as the odds-on favorites to win next year after the KD and Klay injuries. This was a big move that the Lakers landed. Don't talk to me about mortgaging their future for the present. The Lakers just became relevant in the present again after a very hectic, bad year.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. In the Boston Celtics trade, Ray Allen was 32 when he was traded to the Celtics. Kevin Garnett was 31 and Paul Pierce was 30. So yeah, even still a difference there. Like, Anthony Davis is 25. And for the Lakers too, think about it this way. If you're a Lakers fan,
I was talking about Boston to Brooklyn.
Boston Brooklyn trade. Then you're right. Yes. 35. Yeah. They were 34, 35.
Yeah.
So that is pretty ridiculous. Yeah, and the amount that the Nets had to give up for that. I don't think you're going to ever see that ever again. Something where you get completely fleeced by a team and Danny Ainge doing that to the Nets.
And it's crazy to fast forward to present day and that huge King's ransom of all those picks and all that young talent that the Boston Celtics were always planning to use to get Anthony Davis, and they didn't get him. They went to their biggest rival ever, the Los Angeles Lakers. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I wonder if that has more to do with the fact that really Anthony Davis didn't want to play there and his dad. And we remember those rumors going around right. The trade deadline, his dad not really liking Boston and some of the things that they said.
Like you say, you can't mortgage all of that if you're only getting Anthony Davis on a loaner. In that case, it's not worth it. In that case, it would have been a fleece job. But because the Lakers know he's willing to commit, you know, that had to be a huge factor in the fact that the Lakers got what they wanted and got Anthony Davis, because other teams out there were afraid to give up everything for him if he wasn't going to stick around.
I think about it this way, too, for the Lakers. If Lakers fans out there are salty that they feel like they gave up a lot, they're not going to be able to draft their own player for like, what, the next 6 years? Think about it this way. When they made the choice to rebuild, sort of like, what was it, 2013 to basically present day in terms of rebuilding, or you could go back to last summer when they signed LeBron and you're really not rebuilding at that point. How many of those guys have turned into stars? None of them, at least with the Lakers. Like, I get it. They drafted D'Angelo Russell and then traded him. He was an all-star last year. Fine. If you want to give him that, then that's fine. But any of the guys that the Lakers were going to keep long-term and part of their overall future build with young players, how many of those guys have actually been impact borderline all-star type of players or guys that you know are going to be potential all-stars in the future?
The funny thing is the other one is Julius Randle, who they also gave up on. And he just was like, after this trade went down, made it official that he's not opting into his player option to stay in New Orleans after having played in LA with all these guys, Ingram and, you know, and Lonzo and Josh Hart. He's like, nah, dude, I don't want that Lakers mess.
He also knows he can get more than $9 million on the open market this year. So yeah. I don't blame him for not opting into that deal. So that'll be interesting to see if Julius Randle goes back to the Pelicans and how much they're going to pay him if they want to keep him. That'd be a pretty lethal lineup, though. At least for young players. But we're looking at, like you said, Lakers 2.0 at this point with some of those guys reuniting. But I think you're right. I'm with you, too. I think both teams got exactly what they want. That's exactly how I felt with the Bulls and the Timberwolves trade a few years ago. I felt like we both, as a collective, got exactly what we wanted. The Bulls got their pick, their restart for the rebuild. The Timberwolves got Jimmy Butler to be able to compete right away. So both teams won in that. And I felt like both teams won in this instance, too. Similar to Paul George trade, too, with Indiana. I felt like both teams there won that deal, too. Paul George went to OKC. They got their superstar. And then Indiana actually hit on Domantas Sabonis and got an all-star in Victor Oladipo. So I feel like more and more times now when trades are involving big-time stars in the NBA, these deals are becoming more fair, and both teams seem to be winning from these deals. So I do like to see that in case that the Bulls are looking to make those types of deals somewhere in the near future. But again, Anthony Davis is now an LA Laker. We'll see about how him and LeBron play together next season. I'm interested to see who they're going to surround those two guys with, and if they're done looking at free agency, if a third star is going to join them.
Yeah, that's the big question now as far as what comes next with the Lakers. Like, okay, you got Anthony Davis after all of the trying and the back channeling and the tampering and whatever, you got your guy. Now, do you offer a max contract or close to it to a third star to come play with you guys? Because even, you know, on some show this morning, I think it was Chris Carter's show, he was talking about how the Lakers are in play for Kawhi. The Lakers are, as far as he understands it, going to get a meeting with Kawhi. And, you know, I'm sure Jimmy Butler's interested in going to play in L.A., among a few other people. We've also heard the Brooklyn Nets are the leaders in the Kyrie sweepstakes right now, but we've also heard the idea that Kyrie's not opposed to playing with LeBron again. Do they want to swing for the fences and have a three-stars kind of team, you know, the Heatles of the next generation, with, you know, Kyle Kuzma as like a fourth musketeer? But then how do you fill out the rest of that roster? Because you're basically going to have to pay a bunch of people no money. Or do you spread it out and try and build some solid veteran, but still, you know, still young enough to be in it for the long haul and a long deep playoff run kind of players that aren't going to break the bank for you and add more of them. Because that's kind of what the Lakers tried this previous year to build around LeBron, veteran role players. You know, they brought in Rondo, they brought in Stevenson, they brought in JaVale McGee, they brought in Beasley. And it was a weird cast of characters, and it obviously backfired and crashed and burned, and it didn't work. But if they were to do something similar again, but just make better choices with those surrounding role players and then have LeBron be star one and you know, Davis be star 1B, essentially, that might be a better option. And especially to me, you just look at the finals and how they just played out. The Warriors were the team with stars that are top 10, top 15, top 20 players. A couple of them got hurt. And that Warriors team was the least deep it's been in their five-year run of consecutive finals appearances. Toronto, one star in Kawhi, borderline stars, if you want to call Kyle Lowry and or Marc Gasol that, but really a cast of role players and the deepest team in the playoffs. And they are the ones who came out on top. To me, that's what the Lakers should look at when they're figuring out how to spend the rest of their money.
Agreed. And two, those Warriors teams, when they were winning their championships, I mean, they had elite level role players as well. But that was more great findings than anything else. Like Andre Iguodala, unbelievable. Sean Livingston, unbelievable. Some of even the role players in their early championships, Festus Ezeli was amazing for them in the one season where they won their first championships. They had this ability to find these stopgap guys or guys that were kind of under the radar that they brought in and fit their role. That's going to be the biggest thing, is I think the change in head coaching and seeing how Frank Vogel, out of all coaches in the NBA, now Frank Vogel gets rewarded with these guys should be very interesting. And same thing with Jason Kidd on that staff. It's going to be a very interesting storylines to be following the rest of this summer and going into next year. But yeah, it makes it official. And the one thing that we do know in terms of the Chicago Bulls, they were not involved in a three-team trade. I thought if this deal was going to get done, that the Bulls were going to somehow be involved. If not the Bulls, the Suns. But for right now, Zach LaVine is still a Chicago Bull. And the Bulls were not involved in three-team deals. But we still get a ton of trade rumors this past weekend, Matt. And, you know, I was seeing Zach LaVine's name being thrown around all over the place. And then I even saw Lauri Markkanen's name be brought up in maybe potential deals. Obviously, if you're going to start with Lauri Markkanen, we've had this conversation before, it's got to start with an elite-level package, because we're talking about a guy that's the centerpiece of this team right now. If you asked any Bulls fan, I bet you 9 out of the 10 guys would tell you Lauri Markkanen is probably our future. And then maybe one or two people would tell you Zach LaVine can be your future. But for the most part, it's going to be Lauri Markkanen. And if the Bulls are willing to trade him away, they need to get elite level talent back. So I think that's where it starts. Ultimately this week, by the time we get to Friday, Matt, draft is over. Do you think the Bulls have made a deal or have made multiple deals if you had to bet on it?
Ooh, man, that's a really tough question. Because I think if it were up to the Bulls, if teams could just make trades without having the perfect, communication and exchange of goods with another team, then yeah, if it were just up to the Bulls, they would make a move. That's what we have been hearing for weeks now, is that they want to be active leading up to draft night. They'd like to do something, whether it's maybe moving down out of the seventh spot to acquire multiple picks or to try and see if there's any way that they can move up to get the guy that they really want, maybe trading up to 4 now that the Pelicans have that pick and are open to moving it, or maybe trying to trade up to Cleveland spot at 5. Maybe that's to take Darius Garland. Maybe it's to take Jared Culver. Maybe it's to take Kobe White. Do I think it's going to happen? Do I think the Bulls are going to have some kind of trade on draft night or leading up to it? I do. I just kind of have a gut feeling that something's going to go down. What that is, I have no idea. No idea. We keep hearing that the Bulls are in all of these various talks and are trying to do something. They're trying to make a move. And so I think something's going to happen. I just don't know what it's going to be.
Thought it was very interesting. I heard Mark Schadowski talking with Lawrence Holmes on Friday, and he said the surprising thing is how active the Bulls have been in trade talks around the NBA. He said just talking from executives and people in the league. So the name that keeps coming up is the Chicago Bulls and all of these rumors. And so I found that very interesting. And so I think if I had to bet, I think there's something going to go down, whether it is they just stay at seven and they move other pieces or they do try to move up to number four. But at this point right now, you know, we're hearing rumors that Darius Garland could potentially fall to number seven. You're hearing the rumors still that Jarrett Culver could potentially fall to number seven. DeAndre Hunter could be there, and the Bulls like him too. You know, Sekou Doumbouya just worked out for the Bulls yesterday or this weekend at some point, and had a really, really impressive workout. And Draft Express even said that he could be considered at number seven. So there's a lot of guys that the Bulls could consider at that number seven pick if they don't move up. But to me at this point, if you have to give up a future first round pick to move up, I don't want to move up. And if I have to give up Zach LaVine, I don't want to move up. I want to stay at seven. If anything, I would rather see the Bulls move back and grab more assets than have to give up future first round picks and or a player or building piece on this team, because you're not getting anything back. Like talking about trading number four to the Pelicans for what? That same deal that we were talking about the Lakers just a week ago. I'm good on that. So I think the Bulls are going to make a deal, but I don't know what it's going to be either, and I'd rather not see them move up.
So if the Pelicans say to the Bulls, and you're running the show, Jordan, we'll give you the number four for the number seven and a protected first in 2020. If you're the Bulls GM, are you turning that down?
It would have to be lottery protected. I would probably do it if it was lottery protected.
Right. So assume it is. So assume it's top 15 protected. And the number seven for number four. Number four nets you Darius Garland. Are you doing that?
Damn, you got to be really high on Darius Garland. You're giving up two picks. Thing.
You got to know. And, you know, we were talking about this with Cole Zwicker last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. The fact that this is a kid who has a meniscus injury and played five games at the college level. There's a lot of upside, and there's a lot to like about Darius Garland. Maybe the Bulls are convinced that he could be the point guard of the future, even more so than Coby White. They might be higher on him. And we know that the Bulls have recently traveled to scout Darius Garland further. You know, that came out from several reports over the weekend. But are you willing to mortgage your next pick on Darius Garland being that guy? Bulls are still building, and they keep telling us that they want to build through the draft and develop the players that they've drafted. That's the plan. And that's the plan until they can be a desirable enough destination for big name stars in free agency. So if that's the plan, you better be damn sure about Garland before you go giving up, you know, your first round pick next year.
He can be there at seven too. There's rumors that the Phoenix Suns are higher on Coby White than they are on Darius Garland.
I've heard that.
And but then Cleveland,
even,
too.
Even with that, I still think it's unlikely Garland falls to seven.
He would have to get past Cleveland. Cleveland would have to take a wing instead of taking Garland. Like, to me, I don't know why Cleveland would do that. Why they would take Darius Garland and then pair him with Colin Sexton. Well,
I mean, the most recent mock draft I saw from ESPN had the Cavs taking Garland over any of the available wings because, you know, yeah, they have Colin Sexton, but the Cavs are a talent-strapped team, and they got to go best available. And maybe they see Darius Garland as the best player on the board at five. So and it's not like Colin Sexton just like is for sure, without a doubt, their point guard of the future.
That's true. And I've heard a lot of talk about pairing those guys together and just playing both of them at the same time and having that being your backcourt. So, I mean, that could be an option for Cleveland, but here's where I'm at. Regardless of if the Bulls make a deal or not, if they're going to move up, I want the Bulls to be as confident as ever in this draft pick. You know, they've done a really good job the last 2 years drafting Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. in the draft. And even if you take it in perspective of the last decade, they've done a really good job when they've made moves. Usually, though, when they've moved up, it's backfired on them, right? The Doug McDermott trade, two picks for one. They moved up for him and helped the two players that were taken there. Ended up being really, really good players in Gary Harris and also Yusuf Nurkic. There's times where the Bulls have moved up and it hasn't worked out for them. So if they're going to move up and they're going to give up two picks, this year's pick and a protected next year, or you're going to give up something like Zach LaVine, you better be damn sure that this kid is going to be at least a part of your team for the next 6-7 years, and he's going to develop into something more than just a quality role player. So that's what I'm very worried, is that the Bulls are going to press to move up just because they were disappointed a month ago when they saw them fall from 4-7. I think that's part of all of this, is that the Bulls had themselves convinced that they were going to stay no matter what, somewhere in that top five. And I don't think that they really thought about it just the way that we didn't. We don't want to think about the reality of falling from 4-7. And sure enough, that happened. So do you think that that at all is factoring it in? Because I think it is. I think that they really thought that they were going to be at 4 or be in the top 3. And then they all of a sudden got disappointed by falling to 7. So now they're pressing to get back to that point.
I mean, I don't necessarily think that the disappointment of falling to 7 factors into the Bulls and their motivation to do something in this draft as far as making a trade and maybe trading up. I mean, yeah, Paxson said it after the results came in on draft lottery night. Yeah, you know, obviously would have liked things to go differently, but we're confident that we'll get a good player at 7, et cetera, et cetera. You know, similar shit when they didn't win the lottery a year ago, and they felt good about 7, and, you know, well, they got Wendell Carter Jr. at 7. That worked out pretty well for him. But, you know, to me, it's not like, oh my gosh, we're so devastated that we fell from our projected spot of 4th to 7th. It was actually most likely for them to fall to 6th, and second most likely result is what happened, falling to 7th, because of the new draft lottery, you know, odds and how those broke down. So it's not like they should have been shocked by what happened and thus let that instruct their moves moving forward and their strategy moving forward. I think it's just, we're hearing that the Bulls want to make a move because they probably have their eyes on a couple of guys and are not sure that either of those guys will be there at 7. It's just now adjusting to the reality of the situation. We're at 7 in a pretty short draft class where there's a steep drop off, and we might be okay with a guy that we get at 7 if we keep that pick and just stay there. But we could be a lot more excited about a guy that we get if we move up a few spots. That's essentially what I think is going on here.
It'd be interesting to see if they do make the deal and if they do move up, because, I mean, last year we were clamoring for them to move up and to take one of those guys. They stood pat to Carter, and which is fine. Carter's great, but
right. But, you know,
it's like, a whole hell of a lot different this part. Year than moving up than it was last year. Last year was a sure bet you were getting a guy.
I'm pretty sure all Bulls fans would say, hey, if you were telling us sacrifice our 2019 pick and, you know, swap, and maybe would have taken more because, you know, Atlanta was at 5 and we were down at 7. But Dallas was at 5 and we were down at 7. But if you were to say, you know, comparing this year's draft to last year's draft, would you give up the Bulls 2019 pick? Again, not knowing that it was 7th and maybe could have been 1 in Zion. But would you have made that swap? Would you have made that trade to get Luka Doncic on the Bulls? Because I'm pretty sure anyone with half a brain out there watching this Bulls team would say, I would love Luka Doncic on this roster right now. But that's the thing. You have to be sure that you're going to get that guy who is going to be a huge impact player on your team. Are the Bulls
surprised.
That way about somebody who's projected to go top 5 right now and not be there at 7? That's the question.
I'm very surprised that they're this active in trying to move up. We haven't heard a whole lot of rumors about them moving down either. So it's exactly the opposite of what I wanted them to do these last 2 years. Last year, I wanted them to move up, try to get back into that top 5 and grab one of those guys, and Trae Young or Luka Doncic or Mo Bamba or somebody like that. Which is fine. I'm fine with Carter. Carter's going to be great for this Bulls team. But now this year, if anything, I wanted them to move back and grab assets, because anybody that the Bulls are going to take at 7, I think in terms of quality of talent, can be there in the back end of the lottery too. I think everybody between 7 and 14, they're pretty much all at the same level. So to me, I wanted the Bulls to move back, and maybe there just isn't deals to be made to move back and the Bulls don't see quality there. But for Bulls and a team that's rebuilding,
Atlanta's the factor there this year, right? Because they have all those picks and maybe they want to trade up.
Yeah, that's very true. They have 8, 10 and 17. So maybe this is the fact of, I keep getting confused though. Again, Matt, I'm confused by this Bulls team because we make the deal for Otto Porter 3 months ago. Bulls want to go into win now mode. But now all of a sudden it's like, nah, let's wait a second. Let's take a point guard. Let's try to trade up to take a point guard so we can develop him. Or let's move up to take Jarrett Culver. Or, hey, you know what? Maybe let's trade Zach LaVine and be able to get Jarrett Culver and Lonzo Ball or a young point guard. It's like, to me, I don't really understand this direction. And maybe it'll be a little bit clearer when we actually see a deal go down. And then we'll be able to analyze it from there. But still, even with just the rumors of seeing guys like Zach LaVine in trade deals, guys like even Lauri Markkanen being talked about, I just don't understand. I'm confused. I'm confused about why, where the direction is going.
And look, some of that stuff is just conjecture and speculation.
Sure.
Like, I don't believe, because Bulls fans have been yelling at me on Twitter for the last 72 hours. I can't believe they're dumb enough to trade Zach LaVine for Lonzo Ball. And I'm saying there's no proof that the Bulls are trying to do that or planning to do that. It was just because people were talking about the Bulls being involved in that Lakers-Pelicans trade. And we also heard some report, and I can't even remember where it came from, but that essentially Lowry and Wendell were the only two untouchables on this Bulls roster. And so the next biggest piece that you think of as far as, something to throw out there as trade bait is Zach LaVine. And then Zach Lowe said something about it on his podcast and then everybody flipped out and aggregated the entire situation. And it's like, oh, the Bulls are trying to trade Zach LaVine. It's like, no, we had no conclusive reports from legitimate, trustworthy sources to suggest that anything like that was happening. And the same is true for Lauri Markkanen. You know, I just got into it with Sam V of The Athletic yesterday. I don't know if you saw his piece, and maybe that's what you were referencing, but it's suggesting that the Bulls, now that the Pelicans have the number four pick, that the Bulls and Pelicans could both benefit working on a trade centered around the Pelicans getting Lauri Markkanen to pair with Zion, and the Bulls getting their number four pick. And, you know, I took a screenshot of it and said, Sam, you know, delete your account. Mostly joking. He got all defensive. It's all on Twitter. You can go see it if you want to. It's pretty entertaining. But again, now Bulls fans think that they're trying to trade Lauri Markkanen on draft night. It's like, this is all speculation. Have your sources that you trust. Set your Twitter alerts for those people so that when they tweet newsworthy stuff that is backed by legitimate sources, you are the most up-to-date with your information. But I swear to God, it drives me crazy when Bulls fans are saying to me and, you know, texting, or I can't believe they're going to trade Zach. I can't believe they're going to trade Lowry. Just because somebody put it on Twitter doesn't mean it's happening. Just because somebody put it on Twitter doesn't mean that John Paxson is actively making phone calls about trading Zach LaVine right now. Drives me nuts.
So the Bulls aren't going to trade Zach LaVine in the seventh pick to Cleveland for Jordan Clarkson in the fifth pick?
Oh, my God. That one was ridiculous. I mean, that was like some Cavs like so blog site, right?
That was the funniest. That was the funniest deal I've ever seen. Jordan Clarkson's a bum, man. He's a bum. Like, he can come off the bench and score for you in 15 minutes, but the dude can't do much other than that. So I found that one very, very funny. And that's, it's too bad. I wanted to actually hear what Sam had to say about the Lauri Markkanen deal, because I wanted to know, like, what his thought process was, is what the Pelicans had to give up in order to do that. Like, what would the Bulls be getting back for that?
He clapped back at me and was like, I said centered around. I didn't say Lowry for number four. And so I was like, okay, well, then please enlighten me. You suggested that Lowry is more expendable than Wendell, because Wendell's the Bull center of the future. Lowry could be a great five sitting next to Zion Williamson in the front court for the Pelicans, et cetera, et cetera. Center the trade around Lowry for number four. By all means, explain to me what the rest of that trade is. And he was like, essentially said, no, you hurt my feelings, and then ended the conversation. So I guess we'll never know. We'll never know what the rest of that hypothetical trade was that involves the Bulls sending Lowry to the Pelicans for the fourth overall pick. But I mean, you know, that's, and I think I said something about this on Friday's show. It's like, that's part of where we are in the calendar right now. It's crazy, wild speculation season, but it's figuring out and having the brains to know, as a basketball fan and a Bulls fan, don't take Twitter speculation and don't take aggregated shit from people's podcasts as gospel, because it just lends itself to unnecessary chaos. And don't get me wrong, some of the chaos is fun. Some of the speculating and the trade hypotheticals is fun. That's why we do it. But it's a big part of our content that we get from our mailbag and our listeners. And we appreciate all that stuff. And it's a lot of fun. But when the really ludicrous ones come out there and then Bulls fans say, oh, I can't believe the Bulls are thinking about doing this, it's like, oh, so you just assume that this is a real thing because you saw it on Twitter? Come on. Educate
yourself. I mean, I don't know. If you've bet on Twitter long enough, you know not to get upset about that anymore. And especially on NBA Twitter, it's like you're going to see deals that are supposed rumors. And really, they're coming from 17 or 18 year olds that are still in high school that have a handful of thousands of followers on Twitter and act like a news source on there. So it's funny, though. I love the conversation that surrounds all these trade rumors because it is pretty funny. It's interesting to what people think about in terms of value of players and value of picks. But let's talk really quickly before we get out of here. Jackson Hayes has been another name that's continuing to be brought up surrounding the Bulls. Mm-hmm. This is the reason why I think that they would be interested in him, that they would have another move in place, whether it is to deal Markkanen or Carter. To me, it would make a hell of a lot more sense that Carter would be the one on the move than it would be Markkanen, because I feel like Jackson Hayes is more of a traditional five than anything else, and I think he'd play really well alongside Lauri Markkanen. And if they wanted to deal Carter, and they could get something pretty valuable for Carter, they could insert Jackson Hayes right away and basically get the same type of production, or hope that you're going to get the same type of production that you would for Wendell. I don't know if I'm as high on Jackson Hayes. I think he's a great shot blocker. We talked about him a few weeks ago in depth, but I'm not surprised by this at all. Gar Foreman was at probably a dozen Texas games this year. I mean, we had a fan who sent us into our Texan voicemail line a picture of him outside the UT campus in the middle of February, still watching Jackson Hayes. So to say that I would be surprised that the Bulls take a look, good hard look at another big man, I'm not surprised at all. They were scouting him all year long. And it would make sense, because then another move would be in place, whether that is seeing if they can get a deal for Lauri Markkanen or for Wendell Carter Jr. or for multiple players. So what do you think about Jackson Hayes, though? You think that that's serious, or the Bulls are just saying, you know what, maybe that's plan B, plan C, if things do go extremely wrong and the guy that we really want isn't going to be at seven?
Yeah. So here's some context for that. And I'm not sure if you read this. This is Casey Johnson's latest that came out in the Trib this morning, talking about the Bulls and maybe addressing, yes, point guard is a need, but so is depth in the front court, you know, with the likely departure of Robin Lopez and the uselessness of Felicio, and also some other pieces on the roster that they're expecting to get back and healthy. Here's an excerpt from Casey this morning. With Denzel Valentine and Chandler Hutchison both returning from injury next season, addressing big man depth has seemingly joined Paxson's publicly stated desire to upgrade a point guard as most pressing needs. That means wings potentially on the board at seven, such as Texas Tech's Jarrett Culver or Duke's Cam Reddish, seem to be losing momentum on the Bulls draft board. Given how public he has been regarding his desire to challenge Chris Dunn, Paxson has admitted that potential need could trump the franchise's typical best player available approach come Thursday. That is, if the available players are ranked closely enough. So that, to me, is some context around the fact that we have heard recently that Jackson Hayes and Siku are people that have impressed the Bulls recently in their workouts, and the Bulls are highly considering, and there are some people within that front office who are really bumping those guys up their draft boards and perhaps even ahead of the wing trio of Hunter, Culver, and Reddish. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, you took Lowry 2 years ago. You took Wendell last year. To me, you know, and we talked about Jarrett Culver. I don't know if we've talked in depth about Dumboya yet, but like, it's not the right move to add another big man in this draft. You take a point guard or you take one of the wings that's available at seven. So, you know, if Paxson's really feeling this way and saying, well, we don't need to add another wing because we have Chandler Hutchison, Denzel Valentine, I'll blow a goddamn gasket.
It's funny because the guys that they brought in for workout, now they're probably close to 40 or 50 prospects having in for workouts. The majority of the guys that have come in for workouts are either going to be second round projections or undrafted players. And most of those guys are point guards and wings. So we saw a handful of big men come in for the Bulls too, but it was mostly no names, the guys that you wouldn't recognize if you saw. But that's where I find it very interesting, is maybe they think that they can grab their diamond in the rough, their cheap backup options at the wing position and also at the guard position, either with their second round pick, or they can sign them as undrafted free agents. And there's a lot of really decent names that have played in college basketball for a handful of years that I found interesting. Like, for example, guys like the guy from Yale. He was a huge name in the NCAA tournament. People talked about him as being one of the first NBA talents to go from Yale to the NBA. He worked out for the Bulls too. LeGerald Vick from Kansas. By the way, the Bulls had like four or five guys from Kansas coming and work out. Quinn Grimes was another one. He ended up going back to college. But my point here is there's a lot of guys that the Bulls have brought in that they feel like either are going to go in this late second round or go undrafted. That being said, they can pounce at the first opportunity to sign any of those guys and bring them in for summer league. And if they really like them, end up signing them for long term. But in terms of backup depth, really, you're going to take a backup big at number seven. I don't see that happening, even if they are interested in Jackson Hayes. And at that point, I would rather see the Bulls take a swing on Goga Patazde and maybe try to trade into the teens and grab Goga Patazde instead of Jackson Hayes at number seven.
I mean, the other possibility is that this is a not so subtle smokescreen by the Bulls. They could just be trying to, you know, drum up interest for some of these other prospects that are kind of inching into the top 10 and maybe trying to convince some other team to take them so that the Bulls have the players that they really want available at seven, or just try to, you know, use a little bit of misdirection when other teams are trying to figure out who it is that the Bulls want. And again, you know, why would they be doing that? Because they really want to make a move on draft night or leading up to it. And maybe by not being entirely truthful about who or what it is that they are coveting, they'll feel like they are giving themselves the best chance to have the upper hand in any of those trades, because nobody wants the team that got fleeced on draft night. Nobody wants to be that team. And the Bulls know, as dicey of a situation as they're in right now, as horribly as the second year of the rebuild went, and yes, a lot of that was due to injuries, they have to nail this offseason. They know that. So, but again, it's not like Paxton and Gar have been, you know, the Bond level spies when it comes to, you know, outsmarting and outmaneuvering their executive rivals and colleagues around the NBA when it comes to trades. Sometimes, you know, they fared well, and sometimes, as you said, a recent example of them trying to trade up on draft night didn't work out so well.
True. Very, very true. Some of the names that are bigs that could potentially go around the number 38 pick that the Bulls have brought in this year, this offseason for workout leading up to the draft: Daniel Gafford, 6'11". Sophomore out of Arkansas. They brought him in last week. Dedrick Lawson, power forward, 6'8". He was a junior at Kansas. A few other names too to consider: Jawan Morgan from Indiana. They brought him in for a workout. Taco Fall could even be a guy that you could sign an unrestricted free agent. Just take a flyer, because the dude is 7'7". Dude, I mean, even if he doesn't work out,
I would not be opposed to throwing Taco Fall into the mix.
And he can't be any worse than Felicio is, right?
No. No one in the NBA is worse than Felicio is.
So I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think that they take a big guy there. I think you're right on the fact that I think it's more of a smokescreen than anything else. And if they do take a big there like Jackson Hayes, I think another deal's in place, or at least they're going to pivot from saying, all right, Markkanen and Carter are untouchable, to, you know what, we're a little bit more open to doing that now. And, you know, who knows? Maybe it could be a potential deal for an all-star point guard, and they can get that right away. Or they're just willing to keep that space open, and maybe they're even going to look to sign a free agent with all the cap space that they're going to have left. The last one I wanted to ask you real quick, and then we'll get out of here. Just real quickly, do you think the Bulls are going to be in on Mike Conley?
They might be.
I think so too, man. I think it's going to be way more interesting than we were talking about just a month ago.
Yeah, I've heard that the Bulls are at least semi interested in getting Conley, and obviously that would be the veteran point guard, plug and play guy who immediately makes your team better. But you know, obviously, if Memphis wants to move him because they're ready to move on with their rebuild, and everything we're hearing is they love Ja Morant and they are taking him number two. No questions asked about that. They're not trading that pick, so don't even bother asking. You know, and maybe they're just trying to get teams to sweeten up a deal if a team really wants Ja Morant that badly and wants to trade up to number two. But I think that they're going to take Ja. And if they just want to make him the new stud young point guard of their next generation of Memphis, then all of a sudden Conley becomes incredibly expendable. As does his remaining contract of $32 million next season. And then he's got, there's early termination on his 2020-2021 deal that's $34.5 million. So he could, I would assume, if he wants, opt into that. So that's a lot of money. The Bulls would obviously have to, if they were to execute this trade before July 1st and the new NBA fiscal year, equal that. I don't know where you're coming up with that kind of money to bring Mike Conley over. If the Bulls are really that interested in him, I'm sure that they're working on ways to make it happen. I don't know about it. I mean, would he make the Bulls a better team next year? Absolutely. But what about beyond that? That's my issue.
I think the one thing that was interesting also too, Mark Schanowski had mentioned Mike Conley too, and he just said, well, you could try to shoot for the playoffs for the next 2 years. Otto Porter Jr., Mike Conley come off the books after that second year. You allow your young players in Carter and Markkanen to start to develop. You allow your bench pieces to start to develop too. And by that time, you're hoping that with all that cap space being freed up, that at least it's a little bit more of an intriguing sell to free agents if you're trying to bring a superstar or two superstars in to play alongside all of these guys. The one factor is then you're starting to talk about Lauri Markkanen's contract being up, Wendell Carter Jr.'s contract being up, having to re-sign some of these guys. And so you're not going to have a ton of cap space because you're going to have to bring those guys back as well. I think it'd be interesting. It would just depend on how much you would have to give up. If it's the seventh pick this year and maybe a protected pick next year, maybe I think about it. But you still have to, like you were saying, you still got to match part of that salary to get to the point where you can make the deal. And the Bulls, outside of Otto Porter Jr., don't have a whole shitload of money on their books. It's Otto Porter and Zach LaVine that are taking up almost 50% of your cap space. So, and obviously you want to keep both of those guys here. So I don't know what deal that they could make that would make a whole lot of sense. But if it's bringing in Mike Conley, I think I'd be a little bit more open to it than I would of trying to chase one of these veteran point guards that you're going to have to pay still $12 to $15 million a year for the next 2 years. So depending on what the Bulls would have to give up, I think I would be more enticed about trading for Conley than maybe just standing pat if the Bulls really do, in fact, want to make a deal. But the last thing I want to see this Bulls team do is move up and then have to trade away not only your seventh pick, but somebody like Zach LaVine in order to do that, whether that's at four or whether that's at five. So I just... if they do that, I'm going to be very upset.
I think that that's unlikely. I keep trying to talk Bulls fans off the ledge who have been tweeting at me saying, are they really going to trade Zach? Or are they really going to trade Lowry to move up in this weak-ass draft class? And I keep telling people, I would be very surprised. I think that they're going to try as many ways as they can to make a move because that's what we keep hearing. But at the expense of giving up on Zach, who just gave you a 24-5-5 season, at the expense of Lauri Markkanen, one of the biggest rising stars in the league right now, who unfortunately his sophomore campaign was interrupted by that elbow injury that kind of caught him out of a groove right at the, when he found a groove, he again looked like the rising star, perennial all-star potential kind of player. Do you think the Bulls are going to give up either of those guys to move up a couple of spots in this week draft class? No, I don't think they will. I think if they do anything in regards to trying to move up, they will offer other, you know, tertiary pieces of this roster and future picks. I think that's if they make a move to move up, it's not sacrificing Zach. It's not sacrificing Lowry. It's not sacrificing Wendell. It's a tertiary piece and it's a future pick. I think that is the most likely scenario.
I'm going to cross my fingers for that, but we know the Bulls are, they're good at keeping things close to the vest and then surprising us. So we've seen a deal happen in 2017 on draft night. Maybe we'll see one again at 2019. So, but that's where I'm at. I just don't want to see Zach LaVine and the seventh pick. I'm okay with trading Zach LaVine, but you better get something good back for it, and you better not have to give up your seventh pick unless you're getting a superstar. So that's just kind of where I sit right now. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thank you again for listening. This is going to be a crazy week. Mailbag on Wednesday, 331-979-1369. Get your last final takes before the NBA draft is on Thursday. Get your all of your takes into our text and voicemail line. We'll try to hit as many of those on Wednesday's episode as we can. We'll talk a little bit more about trades, free agency, how all of this is going to be impacted by Thursday night, and see if it's going to be a wild night on Thursday. I think there's going to be a lot of deals to be made. Rumors are going to continue to fly all week, so make sure to hit us up at 331-979-1369 or on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Thank you to our sponsor today, Hotels.com, for sponsoring the show. And over the last few weeks, they've been wonderful to us. Check out Hotels.com for all your booking needs. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Well, first of all, it's special to hear you actually say you like somebody. I think that's news in and of itself. Congratulations. I'm just saying, when it comes to basketball, you don't seem to like anybody as much as you like you. But let me get to this.
Let me tell you something. I don't even like you, but I like the fact that you talk crazy sometimes. That's why I'm hoping
you actually do.
I don't like
you actually do. I ain't listening to you.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.